We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. This is Cheryl from Dja-Dja-Wurrung country.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 187 of the Beyond 90 podcast. The world of women's football has been chaotic as the weather we've experienced in Sydney recently. That's why we love the sport. I'm joined by two good friends, Emma Burke and Del Roots, and we'll do our best to give you our vibes on what's happened in the last 7 days. Firstly, you, Emma, you were able to watch a couple of dub games over the weekend.
I did. I got to see a couple, which was nice. I actually got to go to the victory game against Western Sydney, which was an interesting game, to say the least. Yeah, but I was a bit busy otherwise going to Taylor Swift.
So. Ah, yes, you were. And you were telling us on mic. Very fortunate to get those tickets, and yeah,
absolutely. Thanking all of the fates and the stars that aligned to let that one happen for me.
Yes, so. Fantastic. Now, Dale, firstly, because you live in Sydney like me, I'm glad that you're still above water. But yeah, how's the week been for you?
It's been pretty busy, to be honest. I mean, obviously, plenty going on in the world of football. Had my lovely mother up for dinner last night. So that was nice, but yeah, it's been a wild old one today. There was a lake in World Square, so that was quite strange. Not usually the kind of place that you want to find a standing body of water, but
no.
It's been a good one.
Yeah, and yeah, for me, I mean, I've been taken away a little bit from women's football. There was the start of the NPL New South Wales men's season, so I was busy doing commentary and. I got the only goalless game of the weekend, but I think I had the much more important luck. I've dodged all the rain, although like there's roads closed where I work in the Northern Beaches, schools evacuating. So I'm like, and we just got a little bit wet. So yeah, I think I've been fortunate, all things considered. Now, on to Matilda's cap 187, today's feature, Matilda. It's Vedrana Popovic. One solitary cap for our national team, earned in 2013 when the Matildas played the Netherlands. She was a dub player for, I think, Queensland Roar, I think as they were then known, then Melbourne Victory, Adelaide United, before returning to the Roar. Shout out to her junior club, Annerley Football Club. And one of our foreign-born Tillies. She was born in, how do you pronounce it? Jajce? I hope I did that okay. Bosnia-Herzegovina. So, yeah, it's... kind of, obviously, that's kind of a really common footballing story in Australia, like players representing us after being born overseas. I think, with the greatest respect to Vedrana, the last really obscure Matilda, because she, I think her career didn't, looking at Wikipedia, didn't really extend, probably because of injuries due to the time when games were actually streamed. But Dale, do you remember anything about her?
I remember her being part of, I believe, the Adelaide United team that played in Canberra in the game that got rained out. Mm-hmm. That is a very niche thing to remember, yes. But I remember
you
it.
You showed us photos.
I did.
On Sunday, topical reference. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, mostly remember for her time, her two stints at the Roar. She was among the players who were in that Roar squad who won the double in the first year. Nice. And then went on to play for her, I guess, adoptive home state, but her home state, her hometown team for the majority of her dub career. More than 50 appearances in the dub, which when you consider that the seasons were, you know, only short ones at that point, they were only kind of 8 or 10 games. Early on, that's pretty impressive. But yeah, another QAS. It's a shame that Madge is not here to regale us with, you know, stories of QAS. Yeah. But another QAS graduate and alumnus of Queensland Lions, as you said.
A QAS graduate, and wait for it, a season with Melbourne Victory.
Yes.
Of course.
Exactly.
This is Australian football heritage. Madge's, I mean, yeah, by the way, best wishes to Madge, who couldn't be with us, but... She did tell us one story of her really angering Sydney FC and their coach at the time, Alan Stajic, during a semi-final. I think, what'd you say? Taking a dive or something? But what, whatever. Like,
look. Would that have been the game that Staj got sent off?
I hope so.
Could potentially have been that game.
Yeah.
Anyway, yes. We're not here to slander people this early in the podcast.
It's yes, and given, actually, that's a good point, because given the combination of those two surnames, we could get into a lot of trouble.
Yeah, first thing, it's a very, very litigious combination, unfortunately.
Yeah. These days, gone into her LinkedIn page and found more. I've linked to that in the pod notes, found more than I expected. Now she's a field sales manager not just the robotic surgery division, if they call it the Da Vinci robotic surgery division at Device Technologies, that's quite a job. She is, as is actually quite common with a lot of these Matildas who then moved out of football to establish their careers. She's very, very wide range of qualifications she has. The rare MBA and Bachelor of Podiatry combination for tertiary education. Match made in heaven, apparently. But yeah, that's amazing. And also, I did share this with a group chat Dale and I in, and working in robotics now has apparently made her Lockie France's favorite player. Well done to you, Vedrana. I actually would recommend a little bit of LinkedIn stalking, because it's very impressive what Vedrana's been able to do since retiring. And that's just looking at her date of birth. I mean, basically, gave up playing when she was, what, 23?
Yeah, she's only 32 now. So.
Yeah, that's, like she...
Jeez.
Well, I saw her, because I was actually at Penrith when she was given her cap with for an Australia versus Brazil game. And I was looking at her, I'm like, you look really, really young to be with these other players, these other former Matildas getting their cap. But yeah, it's, that's sport can be very cruel sometimes. Now, firstly, and Emma was watching me pre-pod, remembering that this was kind of an important thing. The Matildas are playing against Uzbekistan. First leg is somehow in Australian primetime, despite being the Uzbekistan leg. Love that for us. Saturday, 24th of February, 8 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. And of course, the Google Alerts King, Alex Lucas, is compiling a thread of Australian venues showing Matildas versus Uzbekistan. Alex is based in Sydney, but he's doing this for the whole country because he loves us all that much. And I think he added to that thread earlier today as of the time of recording. That's basically our acknowledgement of the next Tillies game. And by the way, this is humble pie time. Dale and us, because there's been an update to the Matilda squad. Courtney Vine out, Sophie Harding in, while Daniela Galic will be a train on to prepare for young Matilda's duties. So firstly, I like that they've basically specified that Daniela's a train on to reduce the pressure on her, and she deserves that opportunity. Mm-hmm. But Dale and I, this is good for Sophie and not so good potentially for us.
Yeah. Outrageously bad scenes for those of us in the hot takes business.
Yes.
I would just like to say, just recently, I did say that Sophie Harding was needing a call up after the Olympics. Mm. And so I love being right that I knew that she was next on the list.
Yes.
So, I do
humble pie for you guys.
I do seem to recall you mentioning that only a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, look, bad look for me.
I did Happy tweet it. So.
Yes. And you're the smart one, Emma, clearly.
It's going to be good having a player who is just very fast.
Yes.
replacing another very fast player. So, I'll be interested to see how it goes.
And as someone, I have seen Sophie Harding sprint past me in person at an NPL game. I was sitting by the fence. And especially because this is a player Uzbekistan won't know, I just want to see the reaction the first time they see her sprint. It's incredible. no, it's like three steps full pace. Like some people take some time to get up to full speed. Now Sophie is it's all the speed is there immediately. So by the way, if anyone's wondering, Eric, I haven't heard you be negative about Sophie Harding. Yeah, not publicly.
No.
And I am eating so much. I am eating crow for dinner after this podcast finished. Yeah. But I'm happy to be wrong. It's good to be wrong. And sometimes, just remember, if I can if maybe the doubters fielded Sophie Harding to have the best dub season of her career so far, well, yeah, I'm happy to be wrong. And
she's become the club highest scorer in
which the club missed at the time, by the way. Yeah. I would just like to point that out, but a surprisingly low number required to become the all-time leading scorer. But she's done that.
This is Western Sydney we're talking about.
Yes. I mean, because her ninth Wanderers goal made her the all-time leading scorer, and then she broke the single season record. And yeah, it's just it's like I don't know what else to say, but football changes, but being someone that is incredibly fast and sticks the ball in the back of the net never goes out of style. So
can't teach pace.
Cannot.
No.
So what else? Oh yeah, that's as part of our ongoing professionalize the dub campaign, Sophie Harding just casually revealing in a presser, she received the good news while on a 10-hour shift at work. And I'm like, yep. I think reminiscent probably of like all the dub players previously and probably currently that are also nurses, but yeah, just imagine how much better and possibly even faster she could be if she could dedicate herself to this full time.
I mean, she's a nurse as well. If I'm
Of the shift would make sense. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I was just thinking, like, I mean, if she gets paged, like, she's gonna get there. You know, that's my thought.
Yes.
Maybe all nurses should be speedy.
So are you suggesting that that we need to alter the athletic profile of what we're looking for nurses?
I think the PFA need to join the Nurses and Midwives Association into a super union of some descript.
Oh, so like, that super union in The Simpsons. Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, we can have like career adventures where we have, you know, full-time nurses or like, you know, players become, you know, have weeks off and they go and play, and then you can have the nurses come in.
Yep.
We can have, I'm just spitballing here, but anyway, yeah, good for Sophie. She's come a long way from us watching her be fast in NPL and kind of reminded me a lot of the Texan guy in Mighty Ducks 2 who just like couldn't stop at the end line and kept running into the fence.
Reference.
Yeah, I was going to say this might be a little bit before your time, Emma.
I was just going to say, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, but yeah, she was kind of all hat and no cattle, and she has found the cattle very quickly, which has been really good to watch.
Yes, and may she get a full-time football contract soon, and then we'll see. Well, she will continue to grow and continue to make people look slow and continue to bang in the goals. News that, because there's always national team news, the Matildas will be playing Mexico in Texas. So insert all the jokes about Mexico home game, blah, 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 blah. But Wednesday, 10th of April, our time, at Toyota Field in San Antonio. So interesting one. I don't know if anyone has any particular thoughts about this opponent and location, but it would seem to suggest we're playing another team in the region as part of that international window.
Mm.
Yeah,
I think that's probably a good summation of the situation. So Toyota Field is the home of San Antonio FC in the American second tier. It is a stadium similar to, I guess, Central Coast-y, small. It's like I think it's an 8,000 seater, but it's like that kind of small.
Okay.
Community ground. There
does it have an equivalent sponsor activation to inflatable sauce bottles?
You would hope that they would have inflatable barbecue bottles, barbecue sauce bottles. Maybe there's a link up that we can get with Master Food. But yeah, it's a funky little ground. But yeah, it's only us, from what I've seen at least, it's only us and New Zealand that have announced that their fixtures for that far forward. So maybe there's a link up with Brazil at I don't know, at like the Alamo Dome or something, a bigger stadium, but should be fun
for us to play against Brazil again. I need it. It's always so fun. Someone always gets like two steps off getting into an actual fist fight.
Very true.
Someone I need to see it again.
Yes.
It's kind of a funny one though. It's like there's no, like, we're not preparing for anything. Like, we're preparing for the Olympics. Obviously banking on that we qualify, but like, it's a very funny, because we could be playing anybody at the Olympics. Yeah. Like, we don't know who we're playing. Yeah, we've just been like, Mexico. That's fine. They're free.
Yeah.
They're not busy.
Maybe Chids hooked it up.
Oh, yes. It's like, do you know anyone at Tigres?
Yeah. Yes. Tigres's best player is unfortunately not Mexican, but that would be fun. Maybe we'll play Spain.
Okay.
Just putting it out there.
That would be an experience.
It could happen.
Yeah. Now, of course, the best bit about the discourse was that tweet from Kieran. Australia, Matildas versus Mexico, this match will finally decide who is the greatest nation on earth. Obviously a reference to that Simpsons soccer episode, but he's replaced the Portugal flag with the Simpsons Australian flag. Just, oh my God. Completely elite. Like, I mean, it's like, it's probably no surprise that he has a background in comedy, stand-up comedy, because he just always has it. And like, has it within an hour of news being announced. It's incredible.
The low budget effort on the flag as well killed me. Like, very obviously, like, stretched in paint. I loved that as well.
Yes. It's like that. Sometimes it's better. It's more charming when you put it's obviously put less effort into it.
Yeah.
Now, of course, not just the senior national team. There's also the under-20s, the young Matildas, and Leah Blaney has selected the squad for the under-20 Asian Cup, March 3 to 16 in Uzbekistan. That country's name keeps coming up recently somehow. But great news. The games will be shown live and free on 10 Play. And something, if I happen to be at, I won't be at work because of the time zone difference, but that'll be some good evening viewing for all of us. I'd like to know what stood out in the squad to you, if anything. Obviously, I'm thrilled by the daughter of my favorite red wine merchant, Claudia Chico, earning selection. Captain Nash, Jessica Nash, is apparently going to be fit enough to be selected. That's great. And also, Maddie Caspers, what a rise from not having a contract at the start of the season to now going to an under-20 World Cup. So, anyone else have any takes?
Anything from you?
Happy to see some City players in there as well. Naomi Thomas-Chinema.
Yes.
She is, I feel, very underrated considering how young she is as well. She's just such a staple in City's defense. So very happy for her. And Sian McKenna, all I can say is please free her from playing right back. Let her in the midfield. Dear God.
That is true, because we do fullbacks well, especially at the younger age ranges. So doesn't seem necessary, but whatever.
Like, I understand she's been playing right back because of everything that's been happening at City, but she is so good in midfield. Mm-hmm. I spent quite a while watching her when she was playing with Heidelberg United, because I did an internship with them, and she bosses a midfield. Mm-hmm. Please. My crops are dying.
Yes. Gets it from her older sister, I imagine. Also, looking at this, Peter Trimis started the season on a scholarship deal for some reason at the Maras, which, if you've seen her play in NPL New South Wales last year, was madness, but that's been rectified.
Other one for me was Tegan Bertel.
Oh, yes. So I want to see her do her best impersonation of a cannonball and just run into people from other countries. That's part of the latest installment of the International Incident Tour.
We've done a lot of that in Asian football. So, you know, she'll be joining,
time for the world to suffer. I mean,
joining a cast of thousands, really.
And representing the MacArthur region with pride. Go well, Tegan.
The MacArthur region, well known for its disdain of foreigners on the continent. So,
let's move on now. Good God. Also, more seriously, I want to see what Sasha Grove does at this tournament. Mm. That's exciting. And
yeah.
What else? Oh yeah, well done.
Sasha Grove, 2027 World Cup bolter.
Yes, and I actually some hot take, but also not that surprised. Like that, I would not be surprised as well. She's yeah, and actually this someone might see her and think some overseas club might see her and think we would like to give this redhead who looks 9 years old a contract. Oh, let's move on. I need to keep moving. Now, of course, Emma's got to go soon, so I think we'll start with your takes on the two games, dub games played in Melbourne on the weekend. And if if you may just go straight into your vibes on Arsenal 3, Man United 1 as well. Like this really, the floor is yours for whatever you want to talk about before you have to leave.
I can hack that. So I was at the Victory Wanderers game. The wheels have absolutely fallen off Western Sydney Wanderers. I don't know. I admittedly haven't seen too much of the Wanderers football, but Amy Harris playing as the sole centre back in a three back.
That's what was working for them, but it has. Are we sure? Yep, I saw the games. It worked.
It stopped working. They also, I did not know this until it happened to me. Tom Samani is still a, still does like mentoring or whatever for Western Sydney.
We see him around all the time.
Isn't he the head of Wanderers. Women's football at Wanderers?
Actually, I mean,
I couldn't tell you, but I was losing my mind because I was in the media box and I like turned to my right and I was like, I've seen that man before.
Yeah.
Who is
Small
he?
Small Scottish man, I know.
He's a legend of the women's game. It's literally Tom Samani. Yeah. But to talk about the actual game, Victory looked very good. Victory looked like I was expecting them to look this whole season. They just, like, everything was clicking. Everything worked. Emily Gilnick is a legend. If she hadn't have had that injury, she would have found her form sooner. She'd probably be on this squad for the Matildas right now. But unfortunately, this is how the cards have fallen and this is how the ankles have twisted. But yeah, really, really good from Victory. So I hope they can keep this form going. The other game that I saw was City Adelaide, which was very frustrating to watch. It was basically... It felt like 90 minutes of Melbourne City versus the final third, really, because they just could not. Nothing was clicking. I was not moved by this team. Goal from Danny Galich obviously slapped. She never misses, at least in moving me, she never misses. Sometimes she will miss the goal. That happens. The goal that Adelaide scored was...
What? Bonkers. Yeah. What was?
Oh,
that?
Yeah. That's right.
Story with that.
Like, I mean, it somehow got through. Like,
it's like
the three defenders.
It's like a video game glitch. It's like
literally. It's like it clipped through the players into the goal.
Because like I've never seen anything like it in my life. Was like, oh, the ball's. I thought the ball had gone like through the side netting and like there was a hole in the side netting or something. It's,
like. Conspiracy theory, there was a hole in the side netting.
It's the Dubs ghost goal.
Are you telling me that it's really not a Sydney FC conspiracy? It's actually a Melbourne City conspiracy?
Yes.
It is. I'm starting this right here, right now. But yeah, that game was incredibly frustrating to watch. I mean, City will be bolstered in the next... few days when the New Zealanders all come back. I'm guessing the Knicks will also be ecstatic.
Yes.
For the New Zealanders to return. I saw that out list. That was insane.
Oh yeah, that was
that was just like their whole starting lineup.
Yeah.
They're just all gone. But yeah, no, the City should I'm hoping, assuming they'll pick up in when they get their Kiwis back. I feel Rebecca Stott is very missed as her presence in defence and as the captain. But I did think Ross Backen did a very good job in her place as the central defender.
And armband wearer as well. Captain the side.
Yes, at one point, yes. And then Polisina had it as well. I don't know what happened there. Rolling on. Oh my god, Arsenal, finally. Thank God.
In front of a sellout crowd.
Yeah, 3-1 win over Manchester United. I admittedly didn't get to see all that much of it. I did see some of the highlights because I had been at Taylor Swift that night. So I was a bit tired. And I did have work the next day. So
yeah. That's fair.
But love that for us. Love Chloe Lacasse's celebration. That was gorgeous. Hopefully they do that again next week and the week after and just keep doing that so I don't have to suffer anymore.
It should be also part of like Arsenal team plan, part of game planning. Is all right. These are where the opposition fans are.
This is where you go to this celebrate.
End, go here. If you score go at the here. Other end, do an Emmanuel Adebayor and run over to celebrate in front of them.
Exactly.
Love it. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, as you said, we had this discussion with a friend of the pod, and mother of Abby, Kelly Lemon, mentioning that she tells her where she's sat every game.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing. You know, you've got to plan these things out. You've got to have a bit of foresight.
I might have to dip now.
Yep.
But I will say, preemptively, my queen of the week is M. Gilnick for that brace, because that was stupid, that long goal that she scored. Just the vision to set that.
Mm-hmm.
To hit that, and then like 3 minutes odd later, she had the ball again outside the box, and I could hear all these people in the stands screaming, shoo, because they'd seen, they're like, they know she can do it, and they were right, she can. But yeah, M. Gilnick, queen.
Yep.
I'm going to dip from here, but you got, enjoy the rest
you
of
you got part. A much more important Zoom meeting, official Matilda's press conference.
Yes, I mean, we can say that because this will be posted later.
So yes.
That's safe to say. No worries. That is where I'm going.
Yeah.
All right.
Great.
Catch you. Enjoy
thanks.
The rest
see
of the pod.
Thanks, Emma.
Cheers.
Okay, just the two of us. And so...
And then there were two.
Going back to Darb round 17, I think, yes, Canberra versus Sydney, abandoned due to lightning. Just I was following that on... Trudeau was doing commentary, and yeah, it's just like now Sydney's got that awkward midweek trip, but it's like you're the kind of person who knows these rules. Are they starting from the first minute with the score at nil all then, obviously, if it's due to weather?
My understanding is that the whole game will be replayed they, I think it's like if it's within, I mean, that's a really good question, actually. My understanding was that if it goes to 45 minutes, then the game, the result can stand.
Yeah.
But I don't think that you can, I think that, and also it's nil-nil, so I mean, they'll probably come to an agreement.
Yeah, that's,
But yeah, that game was wild. Like, I feel for any of the Sydney fans that travel to that, because the stadium is so exposed, like not even just in the ground, but it's in basically an open, like it's in a park.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only those... Like even the grandstand's barely covered.
That's right.
So yeah, if you went to that,
it's very prone to wind and that kind of thing.
Yeah, because it's like it sits in basically just a plain, like a large open expanse of field. So there's no houses or buildings around to stop any wind or anything like that. But yeah, if you went down to that, I'd dip my lid to you because that would have been an awful ride home as well, like an awful drive home because you would have been. Sopping wet, unfortunately, much like we experienced today, as we were saying earlier, is that kind of like very heavy, quick downpour, and then it was kind of fine this afternoon. But yes, Canberra is unfortunately known for those storms that kind of roll in off the mountain. Yeah. But that means Canberra have two games in hand. I mean the planets are aligning, mate, for Canberra's late and glorious re-entry into the top six.
The road to glory. Wow.
The road to glory is paved with
awkward midweek fixtures.
Light of our enemies.
It's like,
Yeah, it was. I think it's. I mean, it will be a little bit difficult because, they'll have to. Obviously, they've got to fit two more games into the season. But yeah, as you say, they'll have to have a weird midweek trip, or maybe they'll have to fit something in with the international break. But I can't see that really working.
Ooh, I can't see Sydney agreeing to that.
No. But, but yeah, my thoughts on the game. Minimal.
Yeah, well. And you make a good point about the how exposed as well as their stories of fans hiding in the St. John's ambulance tent or whatever will block them from the rain. So
I've had some lovely experiences in the rain at that venue, but the rain was not like that. It was not that kind of rain. And similar experiences to the bushfire game a few years ago as well.
Yeah.
Like, there is just nowhere to hide, unfortunately.
That's right, yeah. So elsewhere in Dub Round 17, Serena Bolden continuing to be very, very good at football. A hat-trick was a great crowd at Maitland Sports Ground. They finally got the game in Maitland, just under 2,000, I think. And yeah, Brisbane just didn't have an answer for Serena Bolden.
No. I think it was the second goal that she scored, had that ball played in behind.
Yeah.
I think from Lara Gooch on the right-hand side. Fantastic pass for that. And Brisbane, as you say, they just looked a little bit out of sorts. I will say you love seeing when they go to these regional venues, and because Maitland Sports Ground is an oval, they play on one side and then just put a fence across the other side of the ground. So, like, you can just walk on the pitch. So it's just, they just had, like, traffic fencing up on the far side of the ground. There were people standing there in the blazing sun in the afternoon, but like everybody was obviously in the grandstand. But yeah, it was halfway across an AFL pitch. But yeah, it was really good performance from Newcastle. They can be really happy with that. I think they're probably a little bit too far back to push for silverware, but they're definitely going to annoy teams going forward.
Yeah, it's because I think the six as it currently stands has Sydney, Newcastle and Central Coast. So
yeah.
Yes, Central Coast are fifth, which is, oh, by the way, I mean, what you're saying about the traffic fencing, good to see the league giving imports the true Australian country sporting experience.
Yeah, I agree. It's more as you of say, it, it's please. Like you've got that, or you play in, like, remember when Melbourne City Men played in Albury during a fire ban and their fans lit flares in 42-degree heat? I think that is, like, a close alignment to the rest of the true rural sporting experience in Australia.
So I mentioned the Mariners, might as well mention Dub After Dark. I actually had big plans for this, but there's a big day on Sunday, I tap out. I didn't end up watching this, but also that reminds me, I liked what the commentator Kate Allman did on Twitter, as taking advantage of the unique time slot, said, "Do you have anything to do Sunday 10:30 p.m? Of course you don't. Watch me commentate Perth versus Mariners." Love the self-promotion. And yeah, the game itself, another M husband. That was Apprentice getting one over the Master, of course.
I was going to say,
Husband versus Parkers.
This would have been a weird one in terms of the coaching staff, because there's always, I mean, you know what it's like if you've ever kind of taken over a role in management at work and you kind of feel that you kind of have to prove yourself. But yeah, as you say, like, the Master definitely made to look silly by the Apprentice. They were cracking this game. The Rasmussen goal was very funny. That last goal was just kind of like trickling over the goal line. Everybody's kind of just...
And I think
it's
so slowly
here. Just let it go in.
Yeah. So slowly that Annalise couldn't celebrate big. So she did she almost did the two calls to celebrate, but she was kind of forced into it because of how long it took the ball to cross the line. Also, I love this, but when did Bianca Galic learn how to smash it in from the parking lot with the left foot?
That was a sick goal. Oh, that was a sick goal. I've got to say, that was one of my two favorites this week, and we'll come to the other one in a bit.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Perth and, kept to only two shots on target for this game. Central Coast, 17 shots, and didn't have the majority of the possession. So, kind of tells you how the game was played looking at those numbers.
Yeah. Also, I suspect Bianca used her ACL injury layoff incredibly wisely, because she didn't have that left foot. She had a decent left foot, but nothing like that pre the injury. And also, I love the way she just left a Perth defender on the ground. It was just like a properly boss goal. What else is there? I mean, you mentioned, I feel like I know what your other favorite goal of the week was. It's the Grace Mar Olympico, isn't it?
No, it wasn't, but I appreciate you for mentioning it.
No,
no, but I did love that goal. I also enjoyed how nobody really knew what was happening when the ball went in, and everybody was just like, "Oh, well, did you touch that? No, okay, must have been you. Okay, we'll all go over here. We'll all celebrate." It's just kind of like, oh, no one had any idea what was happening. But yeah, it was a great finish. Obviously, we love an Olympico. Is that like the third Olympico this season?
The Yanchevsky video game glitch one has to be an Olympico if they've given it to her.
Yeah.
So,
so there was two this week. I reckon there might be a half dozen by the end of the season, if not already. But yeah, Wellington, obviously, you got to feel for them.
Yeah.
Having to fly to City Vista and just kind of like get properly towed up, which is unfortunate.
Ouch. And shout out to at EFC Knicks Ali, who's before the game just said the words "it's so over" and a screenshot of all their outs.
Yeah.
For various reasons, Taylor, Barry, Fraser, Edwards, Mickey Foster, Longo, and Speckmeyer. Ooh, that's
tough.
That's rough. That's it. Yeah, Western United 3, Wellington 0. Also, I loved Hannikin's traditional center forward goal. Run to the near post. She's too big for anyone. Once she gets the position, she's too big for anyone to stop. And yeah, very, very nice near post finish. Just how you teach the kids. I think that's it for Dub Round 17.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Oh, yeah. You've been following women's football longer than I have. So you're, I think, the best person to at least start talking about an article from someone we both know very well, the On 90 mm-hmm. alumnus Sam Lewis, who's written, this is possible, of all the writing things she does brilliantly, this may be the best thing, long-form historical articles. And this title will drag you in for sure if you haven't read it already. It's called Dear Musk Lands, Fake Fans, and Forbidden Friends Inside the North Korean Women's National Soccer Team.
It's an outrageous yarn, first of all.
Yes.
And I can only imagine Sam pitching this, saying like, I want to write about a team that hasn't played competitive international football since like 2011. And her editor just being like, why not?
I can.
Sure.
I'm imagining her voice now, and I would have been sold as well.
It's a super funny story. I mean, she's done so well in describing not necessarily just the kind of the success that the women's team have had, but going through and talking about a North Korean team won the AFC Cup only a couple of years ago, which is the second kind of second tier continental men's tournament. Their April 25th. 425 Soccer Club, which is a section of the North Korean National Army. It's like a lot of Asian teams. There, the National Army has a football club. So, yeah, it's a super interesting read. It is a long read, though. It is a long read. You definitely want to be putting this onto easy read mode and going through it. Maybe. You know, print it out for the older people in your family. Get it bound. Who knows? They might want to have a read as well. But yeah, super, super interesting read. Definitely recommend.
Yeah.
We've got a copy of that in the show notes. North Korean football also known for being the largest stadium anywhere in the world.
Oh yeah, 150,000.
Yeah, May Day Stadium seats 150,000 people in an Olympic stadium, and it is also a very beautiful stadium. So, definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, I remember not women's football, but North Korean. Australia's 2008 Olympic qualifying campaign had to get a result in North Korea to go to the Olympics. They won 2-0, which was, and yet just the silence after scoring the first goal.
Well, we think they won 2-0.
Oh yeah, that's
the
right.
The actual result is up for debate.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Because, you know, we never know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it is my recollection that we won 2-0 and we ended up going to the Beijing Olympics, but other people may have differing views. Correct.
They and remember, because they played at the men played at the 2010 World Cup, and they played against Brazil, and they Maicon scored that outrageous goal, and then they got, I think they got beaten 7-0 by Portugal in the last group game.
That's right.
That I'm sure that was a very long on yes. on the topic of long trips home.
Yes.
I'm sure that was a long trip home. But yeah, they were for so long alongside kind of the other North Asian teams in China and Japan as like the leading lights in women's football in Asia. And I mean, they were probably the original Asian football sensation at the 66 Men's World Cup. They made they made the quarterfinals at the men's 66
beat
Men's
Italy.
World Cup. So
speaking of long trips, beat Italy.
No, I believe they lost to Portugal in
and were leading 3-0 well. Against Portugal, who had one of the best strikers in the world at the time, and then that said striker Eusebio just did what he does.
Decided to do one. But yeah, it's like many things North Korea, we will only ever really know half the story, I think. But I think the half of the story that Sam covers in the article is just, it's a fantastic yarn. It's like 10,000 words, but every one of them is worth it.
Yeah, not a wasted word in that article.
No.
Well worth reading. Also, that's part of a thicker news segment I'm going to try, at least when something takes my fancy. We're just going to call it recommended reading. Sam always provides recommended reading. Just read everything she writes. But the other one is, because we're like supporting women football writers, so it's from Taryn Heddo, A-League's commentator, but just noticed she was one of two journalists at City versus Sydney the weekend before last, and then the only one at Western versus Brisbane, so she started a Substack. I think her writing's very good. She's a great analyst. I've subscribed already, and embed a tweet and a link for that in the show notes. So looking forward to seeing what she writes next. Her first piece is on City's recent struggles and like takes the real tactical approach and explains what her view on why the recent dip in form. By the way, speaking of, just going back to Emma talking about the Wanderers falling off a cliff, well, the timing couldn't be worse, because the next game is against Sydney FC, who that's rough falling out of form before the derby, and a derby that I still think represents their best chance of winning a women's derby in quite some time.
It's a derby doubleheader as well
That's right. I look forward to watching the women's game and the women's game only, because I have better places to be than an A-League men's game. But the spicy tweets. Emma's gone, but I loved it in relation to I think that Arsenal Man United game she loves so much. Mark Skinner's quote: "We're still chasing. We've got to chase. That's what we'll do." Emma quotes it and just says, "Wile E. Coyote about Roadrunner."
Very good.
That's efficient use of words. Five words there, summed it up perfectly. I mean, possibly a bit of an old reference for some listeners, but you'll learn. Ask your parents.
Oh, she got that reference, but not the TV reference that was made previously. Oh, the Mighty Ducks reference. Come on.
Yeah. I mean,
Scattergun cultural. I do like the reaction picture.
Oh my goodness, yes. That's just sometimes the stars align for on-screen graphics compared with what's on the screen. So it's the live WSL table with Man City about to beat Chelsea 1-0, about to draw level on points and level on goal difference at the top of the table. And the faces on Christy Muir, Sam Kerr, and Millie Bright, just perfect. That's
very good.
And also, because this we'll never stop joking about this. It's today is of the time of recording, because the Football Ferns have qualified for the Olympics, and it's a good old Legally Blonde reference from that scene. England saying, "You got into the Olympics," and New Zealand saying, "What, like it's hard?"
Very good. I did enjoy Aaron at underscore Lime Nation. Job done. Ferns are massive. I did go and look up largest fern. I can confirm that the largest fern is actually bigger than a lion. They grow up to 20 meters tall on Norfolk Island. Also a correct tweet.
So it's up Norfolk Island, the island that somehow has giant ferns, but is also the island so small. I remember they once had a Commonwealth Games competitor in the marathon, and the island's actually not big enough for him to simulate marathon distance. He's got to do He's got to do loops. Oh, like, because they're...
Norfolk Island has, if I'm not mistaken, Norfolk Island has an island wide speed limit of 40 kilometers an hour. Yep. And if you live there, you are most likely getting around on a golf cart. Yep. So it's basically just the Pacific Miami.
Yes. Anyway, that's a great tangent. The section I wish I didn't have to fill, but apparently I do. Schoolboy Eris. Oh, by the way, I just kept receipts. This is actually from the week before, but official A-League Women account talking about Michelle Heyman's road back to the national team. She says, in 2019, after not playing a minute at the Asian Cup, Heyman made the decision to retire from international football. It's technically correct, but that's the year of the men's Asian Cup. So, yeah, she...
I mean, she didn't play a minute in the Women's Asian Cup that year because there wasn't an Asian Cup.
Yeah. Not one that she would have ever been selected
yeah,
for.
Yeah, not one yes. that she was qualifying yeah. for.
This, I mean, the next one's a bit nitpicky, but the trying to do the match hashtag for City versus Adelaide, but Adelaide was AFL instead of ADL. I mean, that's nitpicky, but AFL is such a recognizable three letter combination. I feel like that should have been picked up on before posting. And then The Athletic making their Schoolboy Eras debut, unfortunately. Basically starting a tweet and an article with Arsenal captain Leah Williamson, and they were copping the ratio because as Arsenal fans know, the captain Arsenal captain is Kim Little. Yeah. So this is more Scottish erasure, and the only Scottish erasure I ever liked seeing was when the Republic of Ireland erased Scotland's chances of going to the Women's World Cup.
Very good. Good
Thank
reference.
You. Been working on that one all day.
I can tell.
Yes. And, I think this is something we've discussed previously, Dale, but, yeah, just debate, making something a bit nicer, sensible tweets. Kieran again, basically saying the crossover between WOSO fans and Air for Women's WNBL, that's basketball, netball and cricket sport has massive potential. So far, only a few clubs have really tried to tap into it. There are thousands and thousands of people who support those codes who correctly see a win for one as a win for all. So I think your people down in Canberra have done it, so have Adelaide, but yeah, it's rare.
Yeah, they don't have an AFLW club, but the WNBL Capitals and the ACT Meteors, who are the local one-day cricket team, they always announce their seasons together with Canberra United, which is always really good. I don't know if they have a ticketing arrangement, but I've been to enough Caps games as a younger, very much thinner man to remember seeing a lot of Canberra United players there, and a couple of Meteors as well, although they were much less familiar to me because I wasn't going to go and sit in the sun for 9 hours of my Saturday and watch them play because I was already doing that myself. But yeah, it's definitely, so I mean, it's tough for the Sydney clubs, but there's definitely an opportunity there for the non-Sydney Melbourne teams, I think, to do something like that, especially where you've got like WBBL cricket kind of like the seasons roll into each other across. I mean, you've got three, I think, rugby league team, women's rugby league teams up there now. I think the Cowboys are coming in. Mm. You've got Broncos and Broncos and the Titans, definitely. So there's an opportunity there as well. And yeah, I mean, as I think I tweeted about a while ago, there was an opportunity for the Western City game where you could have had, like, if you go to the tennis, you get a, like, the club puts you up for free, you know, or the club gives you a free ticket. Like, there's so many crossover potential. I just think that, I think the clubs are just a bit, scared is the wrong word, but wary of seeming like they're kind of courting the wrong fan. Mm. I don't know. It's the kind of cultural cringe around trying to collaborate with other clubs is a bit tough, especially when you're all clubs, I think, feel like it's a zero-sum game, but there's enough disposable income among those generally speaking kind of 18 to 40 fans who are now the older end, having kids and bringing those kids into sports, for that money to go around, especially when women's sport is generally so affordable to attend and to follow.
Yeah. And I think before we move on, I don't follow Australian rules basketball, netball, or cricket. But like, if I did start, it would be because I support women's football. So that's kind of like the crossover potential. Like, so yeah. So but I mean, as we lamented on numerous times, I mean, part of, to do that, they might have to start targeting adults, as you've said, which they seem to have trouble figuring out, despite all the money we want to spend on this.
Yeah, well, it's the, as you say, we, you know, we never have enough people tuning into our TV broadcasts. Well, that's probably because the people paying for those TV broadcasts are the ones that you're not targeting, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes, yes, et cetera. Now, a foreign football stuff. I've got the Women's FA Cup quarterfinal draw. So, I mean, it's always spicy at this time of the comp. Tottenham versus Manchester City, Liverpool versus Leicester, Brighton versus Manchester United, and your beloved Everton host Chelsea. So,
it's just such a shame that they're going to get beaten by half a dozen goals, Everton. But look, it's a tough scene.
I mean, it's
definitely opened up a little bit with Arsenal not being in the draw as well. So
yeah, tell you, and Leicester found some form. They could do a job against Liverpool. Absolutely. And even Brighton at home, I mean, Brighton's not had a great season, but they nearly beat Manchester United at home in the league. And so that's...
Yeah, that's United are in a bit of a dip, and also their coach is a bit of a dip as well. So,
it's just like...
We could definitely see Brighton kind of, not necessarily pull off an upset there, but I can definitely see that they'll get a result, and then they will redo the semi-final. They redo the draw for the semi-final, so they won't know their opponent
so it's not a fixed bracket. Okay.
Correct.
So also Conti Cup, the Valentine's Day special between London City Lionesses and Arsenal. Once again, hilariously funny to us. We can't tell you why, but Arsenal won 4-0, so they're into the semi-finals. And I mean, obviously the floor is yours again, Dale, because Everton beat West Ham 2-0. So
yeah, Matildas started for this game. All three of them, Claire Wheeler, Mackenzie Arnold, and Katrina Gorry. Gorry did have a really nice shot in the first half, just fizz past the outside of the left upright from like 25 yards out. It was really, really well hit. And Claire Wheeler started again in kind of a defensive midfield position, which has been much better because up until this point, she'd been playing as a weird left wing back, right wing back position, which really, really just didn't suit her game. But you know, she was a warm body, so they kind of had to put her somewhere. It was a pretty even game up until the kind of midway point of the second half, and then Everton just turned on the burners, and Piedmonte scored the first goal with a really good header from an Arara Gully set piece, and then later on, Gully scored.
Returned the favour, didn't they?
Absolute. Beast of a goal, just like basically got the ball probably 5 yards out of the 18-yard box, just turned and whomped it over Macca, and she just watched it fly into the side netting inside the upright, and it was a fantastic goal. But yeah, good result. Tough one for West Ham, but this is kind of one of those like bottom half results where, you know, that neither of these teams are playing for silverware or anything. They're both kind of both kind of aware that Bristol City will go down. It's just dotting the T's and crossing the I's at this point.
Yeah, I kind of feel sorry for Bristol City. As I think I said earlier, the only club in the league not without a men's Premier League club to back them and getting good crowds. And I think we're playing reasonable football given the resources, but just, even if Leicester, who have had that kind of investment, they can beat them 5-2. That's Leicester, by the way, almost in the top half of the table now. That looks like Bristol City getting relegated. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
What else took my eye? Oh yes. Filipina superstar Maz Pacheco setting up the winner for Jordan Obbs. Aston Villa beating Spurs. Great goal from Jordan Obbs and an equally great celebration. And what else we got? Oh yes. We also already referenced this. Chelsea 0, Manchester City 1. Those two deadlocked at the top of the table. And positive results for Manchester City mean sassy Instagram posts from Kirsten Casparay.
Yeah. Great.
Actually, I've got to put this in the show notes. Only real queens beat the unbeatable at King's Meadow. I mean, she's doing this in her second language. It's so impressive.
Yep. Look how far AI has gone.
It's, but she is Dutch though, so I feel like they've.
It's not.
They've always been. Yeah. That's like they've. I've always felt at times they. It's all, but especially for elite Dutch athletes, it's like.
Like well, they learn English all the way.
You've developed English classes because
they learn English all the way. They're like native speakers.
Yeah.
Till year 10, I think. I think they have to learn English all the way through high school.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Yeah. What else? Okay. If apologies if I don't do the rest of the results before publishing, and hopefully I remember NPL Queensland as well, because bizarrely that started already. But yeah, I think we're on to Queens, Kings, and Emperors of the Week. So have you thought of a selection, Dale?
Well, mine was Aurora Garley for her fantastic goal. But I will also dip my lid, as I mentioned earlier, to anybody that went to the Canberra game on the weekend. You're a braver soul than I, and I hope that the club, you know, takes stock of whoever went and looks after you in terms of Sydney fans, because you know you definitely deserve to get a free ticket into something.
Yeah, that's the bare minimum, really. So let's hope that gets done. And big shout out to the third team for my selections, because firstly, yes, someone you know well, A-League Women Assistant Referee Delphina Shakespeare was nominated for the ACT Government 2024 Woman of the Year Awards. And another one, I like this one from A-League ref Lara Lee, and I love the way she announced it. Lara Lee's having a baby, and her partner have announced it with a whole heap of refereeing equipment and the subs board just saying 2024, which I think is top notch.
Very cute. So, and I do love the Adidas baby shoes as well. Very, very nice touch.
Yes. And the cards as well, presumably for when they're older and they misbehave. It's like,
exactly.
It'll be good for the child in the long run, but that would be painful at times being raised by a referee.
I mean, look, the less I say now, the more I can say later.
Anyway, time to, I think that's it. So time to wrap this up. So on behalf of Media Elite, Emma Burke and Dale Roots, this is Eric Subihano signing off for episode 187 of the Beyond 90 podcast. Thanks for your support. Wishing you all the usual, plenty of good vibes, great coffee, sick tattoos, Razzlers, and hopefully you're staying above water, unlike half of Sydney. See you next time.